maps. Pinball and maps. Mapping around with Scott and Ryan.
You mentioned you wanted to do a description on what this even is, what this podcast is.
Yeah.
Or do you not care?
Well, I think we should just say real quickly, like, you know, it's called Mapping Around with Scott and Ryan, but this is why we're doing a podcast, I guess.
And why are we doing a podcast?
Because we work on a site called Pinball Map.
And what is Pinball Map?
It is a user-powered locator of publicly playable pinball machines.
What constitutes a publicly playable pinball machine?
It's at a venue that is public. Anyone can go there. You know, sometimes you have to pay a fee. Sometimes you can walk right in. Sometimes it's closed, but overall you can go there and play pinball. It's not someone's house. It's not a private club. And play to your heart's content.
What's your favorite thing about location pinball, Ryan?
Playing games that I don't own, because I only own two games and they're at my parents' house.
What two games do you own? Paragon and...
Flight 2000.
Flight 2000? When did you get that?
I don't know, like 2014 or something like that. I got it off Keith Elwin.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's cool. What's your least favorite thing about location pinball?
Maybe when it feels like someone's hovering over my shoulder and they want to play. Because sometimes I like to just camp out and play a machine for an hour plus.
Does it bother you when you get free games or whatever and somebody takes them from you when you were just taking a break?
No, not at all. I give away free games all the time. I kind of just like get my fill. Usually the games where I win free games, like if I get a score and a replay in one game or something and you get two free credits, by then I'm usually kind of over it. And so I'm ready to move on. I walk away. Someone takes it. So I don't care.
Doesn't bother me either. But here's a weird situation I never know how to navigate. What if you walk up to a machine and it kind of seems like the person's done? You don't want to take their credits, but also, you know, maybe you don't want to put a dollar in if there's credits. Do you talk to this person? Or do you just wait or what?
Like, it's clear you already know whose credits they are and they're kind of nearby.
Yeah, like there's a guy with a black t-shirt on with like an inscrutable band logo and he just got done talking to his friend and working through whatever he's going through on a pinball machine, gets a free game, kind of sits around and talks about the game for a while and then walks away, but like maybe to a chair, not to another pinball machine. Mm-hmm. What do you do there?
Usually I would just kind of walk up and play and assume he's done with it. I don't think I've ever been in too many situations where I need to like make eye contact with that person and say, are you done over here? Is it okay if I play this? I would definitely not put in quarters and then leave that credit for that person after I leave. Like I would just play their credit, and if there's none left, that's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Do you disagree with any of that, or?
I don't think so. That all seems pretty reasonable to me. I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's a judgment call based on the situation. It's hard to be prescriptive, right?
Right. And, you know, and also, you know, at the end of the day, too, we're talking about like a max of $1 at play here. So there's not a huge amount at stake. And if a mistake has been made and they really wanted to play that, it seems pretty easy to just be like, oh, my bad. Here's your 50 cents. I don't know.
See, here's where I do disagree. To me, it's not the dollar. That's not what's at stake. It's navigating a social experience with a stranger. I don't want to talk to them.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's nothing wrong. I'm sure they're nice people, but I don't want to have a conversation about it. I just kind of want to, you know, maybe play the game and move on. So that's what's at stake for me, is navigating. How do I play pinball and everyone's happy about it?
Yeah. I mean, I guess in my experience, it just doesn't come up that often that a person would come up to you and then talk about that credit that was on there. So it seems like overall in the scheme of things, it's safe to step up and play and then walk away and do your own thing. And you're, your ships passing in the night, and that's it.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Gracefully gliding through the water.
Silently.
Uh-huh.
All right. What's been going on with the pinball map, Ryan? All right. You know what? I'm sorry. What's been going on with you?
Oh, I've been playing, as you know, a little bit more tennis these days. We have this thing down south in Southern California called May Gray and June Gloom, and it's good tennis weather because you don't have the sun in your eyes as you're serving, and it's cool. So I've been just trying to get out to hit the courts more often.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tennis. I like it. You have a tennis outfit that you put on?
No, just regular shorts and sometimes a long sleeve shirt just so I don't get less sun on my arms. And
okay.
Real tennis shoes, because those are the best to play in for stability and stuff.
Okay.
What's up with you? Anything I...
Oh, me? I'm going to Brighton Bush this weekend. You know Brighton Bush?
No.
It's this, like, hippie, hot springs, like, off-grid resort near Detroit, Michigan.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm... Most of my life, I've been a don't touch me guy, and just, you know, avoiding crowds and all that stuff. But in my old age, I've come to enjoy saunas and cold plunges.
Wow.
I think that's fun. Yeah. So I'm just going to go there and read a book. I'm going to read Ulysses, actually.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing else to do. So I'm just going to read Ulysses and go in a sauna.
Are you going to bring a paper version of the book? Oh, yeah, you bought a paper version. So you can read that in a sauna probably without it hopefully falling apart.
Yeah, I actually have three paper versions of it. I do this thing where I go to the Goodwill book section, and there's a few Goodwills in town that always have really good books. Most don't, but there's a few that have really good ones. And whenever I see a copy of Ulysses, I always buy it because they're always really old and kind of cool looking.
Mm-hmm.
There's no point to this story. I have a couple copies of Ulysses.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Bring all three in case like the gum and the spine falls apart in the sauna.
Right. Or I could be the guy reading Ulysses who's like, it's such a beautiful book. Here, you should have a copy of it.
Yeah. Or right? you could read every day a different copy and see if anyone notices.
Wow. Yeah, that's what's going on with me. Camper vans in full flight, making good use of that. Got a new shed in my backyard. Loving that.
Cool.
I don't know, Ryan.
A Home Depot shed or something?
No, a man is building it on my behalf. Yeah, a guy named Brian. He's great. It's really nice. Yeah, I'm just running out the clock over here, you know?
Are you going to be driving solo out there?
Yeah, solo trip. This is my move, is going to little places like this, but in the van, because... then you can stay there really, really cheap, but you get to use the amenities, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then also you're the guy in the van. Like at the end of every night, you go out to your van and maybe one person for a second's like, what's up with the guy in the van? What about the pinball map? Anything there? Is that still around?
Still around. Still kicking.
Still? What happened with it?
You tell me. What happened with the website this month?
Oh, geez. I made an update to the website.
Yes.
Yeah. It was fun. It was nice. For those who don't know why this is notable, it's Ryan and Beth do most of the work around here. They do most of the programming. I did a lot of the programming a long time ago, but have not been as on the keyboard for quite a while. So when an opportunity arose to do a modest feature I took that opportunity and it was fun. I used to be a computer programmer by trade and now I'm a manager of computer programmers. So it's kind of fun to get in there every once in a while and remind yourself of how easy this stuff is. It's really like, what is everyone so upset about? But it was fun. I don't know. The feature itself, you can now edit and delete your own comments.
Great feature.
Is it? Tell me why.
Well, I think it's because of observing people's behavior on the map over the years, and they will be not satisfied with a comment that they've made for a number of reasons. Could have a typo. Often it's they're drunk and they left a comment and then they regret that comment like the next morning. Mm-hmm. And that's actually a pretty common thing. On Saturday and Sunday mornings, people write us emails like pretty regularly and say, can you delete this comment that I left last night? and we're like, sure, no problem. Who cares? Sometimes people don't contact us about things like that. Sometimes people try to take action into their own hands. You know, if they say it's the left flipper broken and they meant the right flipper, they will either leave a new comment, which is fine, leave a new comment saying I meant the right flipper, it's fine, but it's messy. Or they remove the machine entirely from the location, add it back, and then leave their correct comment in there. And I don't like when that happens. You know, it shouldn't happen. The machine wasn't actually removed from the site, therefore it shouldn't have been removed from the map, even for 1 second. And shouldn't be done to clear out comments. That's kind of like a big battle that we have. You know, and one person even deleted their entire account to try to clear out a comment that they didn't like for one reason or another. And that didn't work because we just switched the username to say deleted user or something like that. It doesn't actually delete the comment. It's also, you know, it's just more work for us too. Hey, delete this comment. Or I meant to say this. And so, you know, one of the goals is to reduce our workload. These little things can kind of add up.
I was just reflecting on how the primary users seem to be drunk people and the remorseful. That's who benefits from this, which is nice. Something that was striking to me, and this is like a little personal journey here. Mm-hmm. And we started the map, what, like 18 years ago?
Something longer? Like that.
Yeah. And it used to just be like us writing code and putting it out the door with pretty good testing, but it really was just us. And this time when I pushed the code, there were actual code reviews from people I don't even know, which was like interesting because I never really feel self-conscious about writing code for the pinball map. But this time I was like, oh my God, like people are actually going to see this and have a thought on it. It was a good feeling. And the code review itself was great. Like all the comments were right on. It was all the right thing to do. It made it a better feature. I'm just not used to scrutiny. I think that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're using a public GitHub account, and overall definitely seems like we're just talking to ourselves and nobody's reading anything. It's embarrassing to look at old issues and see like the comments that I've written in there. If I ever thought about who else has seen those, it becomes even more embarrassing, I guess. But I try not to think about that.
Maybe you could go back and edit or delete those GitHub comments.
I can. That's just a normal feature that normal sites have. And now ours does. We caught up. Only took a decade and a half.
What's the new app update?
It just adds that feature. That's it.
Oh, okay. That's live?
Yeah, it's live.
Oh, cool. Totally. I haven't updated the app. That was fast. Do you do that or Beth?
Beth.
Wow. Hey, Beth. You think Beth listens to this podcast?
I hope so.
I hope so, too, but she hasn't mentioned it. Beth, if you're listening, let us know.
Beth.
On our private Slack channel.
Yeah.
Beth? We got to get Beth on this podcast.
Yeah. How about next episode?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I have a feeling the summer will slow down work-wise on the app and the website. That's my
always happens. I mean, we're gonna go have fun this summer, right?
Definitely. Yeah.
I got a lot of plans. I'm actually really looking forward to this summer.
Good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. Hey, before we move on, the only consistent feedback I've gotten about this podcast is that people don't seem to be able to tell apart our voices. People are like, yeah, you just sound like two middle-aged white guys. I don't know who's who.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do about that.
I don't know. You're Scott and I'm Ryan. Just like a reminder a couple times in the episode. We just say that over and over.
I do tend to say your name a lot. Maybe that's the listener's cue if they care.
Yeah, so. You do, Scott. Do that, Scott.
Yes, thank you, Ryan. I think it's important to have different voices on this podcast, which is why I am excited about scene reports. Anything in the old mailbag there?
Let's check the mailbag.
Check it. Bring, 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 bring. You've reached the voicemail box of Pinball Map.
Ring, ring. This is your scene report from Barcade East Village on St. Mark's Place in Manhattan, New York City. I actually live directly across the street from this place. Leaving this scene report while my ball is currently stuck and for some reason hasn't yet triggered the table reset on Funhouse. But yeah, I live across the street, so I'm a super regular here. I found out some juicy gossip last week. One of the bartenders here leaves drunken, mean comments on the tables at a different establishment in Brooklyn, not Barcade, and I won't reveal their name. But there are six tables here, used to be three. I do a lot of helping first-time pinball players realize that the machine did not eat their quarters when they don't know where the start button is. It's a fun place. I really like it here. I know Barcade is kind of contentious and litigious, but this one's a nice place to hang out. It's fun to be a regular at a tourist trap. Feels like it unlocks a special level of something. I'll call back with more, but I'm enjoying Funhouse, but yeah, my ball's been stuck in the upper left extra ball chamber for about 3 minutes now, and the table hasn't started doing anything, so I might have to tilt. Cheers.
Wow, a scene report from New York City?
I know, that's all the way across the country from both of us. We're on the West Coast, so yeah, I've never been to that place. Great to hear about it.
The thing that stuck with me, I think, is that notion of having having your regular bar, like the bar that you go to the most out of any other bar, be touristy, and having that open up little secret vibes. I think that's nice. When I turned 21, the first drink I ever had was at GameWorks. That seems pretty right on for when I was 21.
My first beer was a Corona at a burrito place, which seems pretty right on for my whole life.
Do you remember what the burrito you had that day was?
Yeah, bean, rice, and cheese. That's a BRC was my go-to for a lot of the different places I went to.
I love that.
Let's discuss about this now.
Okay, a couple follow-ups from last episode. I know everyone's waiting to hear these follow-ups. When we get confused or we forget things or we guess about stuff, now we could come in the next episode and provide the answer. So one thing we were talking about last episode, we were admiring the Kineticist game database that they have. They have a big directory of pinball machines with all these links to tutorials and videos and pictures, rules, etc. And it's robust. There's a lot on there. There's more. It seems like it's the most robust directory out there. You wondered what Colin at Kineticist is up to when he's doing that, and how he does it even. And he told us. So I'll supply that. I was right. He does it by hand. And then we wondered about what he watches. And right. I guessed that he was listening to pinball podcasts. And you were hoping it was not that.
Yeah, I was hoping that he put on some sort of repetitive, put it in the background sitcom or like some show that you could just marathon and pay half attention to.
And I think it sounds like you were right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good work, Colin. Yeah. That's good to hear.
He says a lot of it was done while watching TV in the evenings. And then he has a young son, and before his son could kind of sleep peacefully overnight, he would have the night shift sometimes, and he would just stay up, sit there and plow through it while watching his kid sleep or struggle to sleep.
Hang on a second, though. Mm-hmm. He told you TV, but didn't tell you what TV show?
No, he didn't say what shows. I'm sure it's a lot of shows. It's maybe too many to listen or to name.
Colin, name the shows, Colin. Next episode, can we please follow up on that? Yeah. I feel like that's important.
That would be good to know.
Like, people go to the Kineticist, wouldn't it be fun to know, like, yeah, a guy listening to, like, Gilmore Girls did this, or, like, this guy was watching Little House on the Prairie nonstop when he put it together. Makes it more interesting, I think.
It connects you to a person that put in that hard work. There's a lot of work there.
Mm-hmm.
He did comment on the podcast idea, though. He said pinball podcasts were, in general, hard to listen to because, his job is listening to podcasts and paying attention to them.
All right, Colin. Thanks for all you do.
Yeah.
What about your shoes, Ryan? We talked running shoes. You said you'd get back to me.
Yeah. Remember when I couldn't remember the name of a shoe brand? The brand is Saucony.
Oh, I thought those were pronounced Saucony.
Oh,
but is it Saucony? It sounds like a character from what is that show? There's a pinball machine, James Gandolfini.
The Sopranos?
The Sopranos. Saucony.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The model is Kinvara 13. So I just it looks like Saucony Kinvara 13.
Huh. Interesting.
I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it.
Doesn't matter. Are they good shoes?
Yeah, they seem good. I mean, I would say I can't really review running shoes. I haven't had enough pairs in my life.
Cool. It's great. Mm-hmm. Thanks for following up on that.
Map tech.
I don't know. What else have you been tracking? I saw you had a few scares a couple weeks ago with traffic to the website spiking suddenly. I think you even had to ban some IP addresses. Any interesting traffic anomalies or discoveries?
Yeah. During that, I saw that we there was one API endpoint. Oh, and I want to say one little aside, like a meta aside right here, is that I notice when I edit these podcast episodes that I have a tendency to always define what I'm talking about. And I think it's like some desire to make sure that everyone always knows the context of everything. And I'm like, I mentioned RSS and I spend 2 minutes just defining what RSS is and describing.
What's wrong with that? That seems good.
I don't know.
It's a nice thing.
It seems like it kind of bogs down the flow a little bit. Like we just start talking. I'm like, and then it stands for real simple syndication. And, I mentioned the API and then I'm like, we have an API and it does this and that. And sometimes I just cut that out.
What's API stand for, Ryan?
I don't know. I saw that the other day. I forgot already.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah. Awesome yeah. protocol of
I think
information.
It's application. I think it's application program interface. I think that's it, but I could be wrong. Anyway, yeah. I don't think it's bad to, you know, show your work. Bring yeah. people with you.
Yeah. yeah. I just, you know, I worry about boring people, I guess. And so I was looking at these endpoints being hit, and there was one that stood out to me, and I was like, what is this? I don't even remember what endpoint this is. And it was your Tidbit app that you made last year. And that was getting just like wailed on. And I was like, man, it's, you know, and the Tidbit app is a little device that's just showing the closest machines to this Tidbit. And we weren't sure, you know, we don't know how many people are using that. Tidbits tend to like cycle through different things, right? People put like the weather on it. People put when the next bus is coming. I haven't had one. You tell me. Every few seconds or something, it switches between the next one or something like that.
You can configure a lot of that stuff. But it's kind of a weird ecosystem on the back end. Like, I get the sense that they hammer connections like over and over and over and over again. But I'm not entirely sure. But yeah, anyway, I think the default, it'll stay on for like 5 seconds and then cycle to your next thing.
Okay, well, I think the overall stats, this endpoint was being hit. And, you know, it included a latitude, longitude. So you kind of get a little bit of information. And it was getting hit around 30,000 times a day. And I did the math. I calculated how many seconds are in a day, and that's an average of one hit every 2.8 seconds throughout the day.
Wow.
So it seems like there's a lot of devices that are using this. I mean, if you're cycling through if one device is cycling through every, like, you know, hitting it once or twice a minute or something like that, I don't know.
Okay, so I'm playing worst case scenario that these things are rogue and they hit once a second. That's still three Tidbits out there that are like misconfigured. Anyway, that's cool. That's right, interesting. How about this?
Worst case scenario.
If you're listening to us and you have a Tidbit and you're using it, let us know.
Just tell us.
We're not going to tell anybody else. But it would be nice to know why you're using it, what, you know, like what you get out of it. Is it working? That'd be fun. All right, cool. Interesting. Someone's using it. That's
yeah,
good.
Very interesting.
It was fun to make it. Be fun if someone used it.
Yeah. Potentially hundreds of people, potentially thousands, potentially three. You never know.
Hey, do you hear that?
Oh yeah. That's just my phone.
Ring, 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 ring.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to get this. I'll let go to voicemail.
Ring, ring, ring.
This is a ringing getting sadder because I'm not answering it.
Oh, did it go to voicemail?
Yeah.
Oh. I wonder who it was. You want to check that?
All right. I'll check it.
Tuesday, May 28th, 2024 at 3:31 p.m.
Hey, Ryan. It's Scott from the podcast. I'm in Nehalem right now, actually. Nehalem, Oregon. Maybe one of my favorite little beach towns out here. And I am coming to you from the North Coast Pinball Arcade. Do I call it an arcade? Anyway, wonderful, wonderful place. And I just played Jaws for the first time, which is pretty cool. And, you know, on a personal level, personal note, very excited to play this game right on the coast here, right along the coast. Seems like a good beach game to play. I didn't do very well, but I had fun. I see what you're saying about the blue. It's very an attractive blue. I, of course, wish they would have done more with the shark itself. Like, what are we doing here? But I found myself, more than I expected to, really loved seeing the little videos pop up. Little interstitial videos are really nice to see, even though it's, what, just a bunch of VHS tape recordings or something? I liked it. Anyway, North Coast Pinball, just wonderful. They sell zines here. pretty good vibe in general. It just seems like somebody just opened this place up and decided to do a nice thing for everybody. That's the feeling I get here. I'm pretty impressed. So if you're ever in Nehalem, come on out to North Coast Pinball. Let's see, lineup wise, there's a lot of machines here. I don't know. I'm just looking out. I see there's at least like 20, it seems like. What's the most interesting one? They got the Matahari, the, let's see, not the Nazi one. So that's good. Good for them. What else do I see that I like? Attack from Mars. Of course, I like that one. They got some arcade machines here too. I like it when we mix it up a little bit. That feels good. They got World Cup, which, as you know, will always have a special place in my heart, even though I don't love it all that much. Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of loud in here. I'll come outside and say goodbye. I definitely enjoy little trips to the coast. Manzanita is a great place to stay. And Nehalem's right next door. So next time you're out here, or maybe you just hop on the 101 right now, like Sisters of Mercy, and just drive on up to Nehalem. Give North Coast Pinball a shot. Really brightened my day. All right, I'm tired. I'm going to go get some coffee now. Kids kept me up all night. Hope you're doing well. Love you. Talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, it was you, Scott.
It was me the whole time. The call was coming from inside the house. Yeah. Jaws. I got a lot of feelings about Jaws. I'll try to be brief, though. Some of them are covered there. Like the blue, the theming of the blue is nice.
Love the blue.
I like it. Yeah, mm-hmm. it looks nice. Since this call, I've played more Jaws with Elijah. And here's the thing, Jaws is like a top three movie for me. I love that movie. So the theme kind of works, but also, I don't know, it kind of got old for me, kind of like quicker than I wished it would. And the playfield just feels so open.
Mm-hmm.
I always feel like I'm getting pushed to the right and then just kind of hitting three drop targets. And then after that, it's just shots that are super far away. I don't know. I kind of surprised myself with how quickly I burned out on Jaws. But the reason I wanted to say all that, I love a licensed property for a game. I have no problem with those at all. One of my favorites is actually Wheel of Fortune. Like I really like that Wheel of Fortune game. But I was camping the other day and I was thinking, there's no pinball machine about camping. Right? Like the closest you get is Whitewater, and that's not really camping, right? It's just a rafting trip.
Yeah. The first thing I thought of was some sort of Bigfoot theme would be probably the only camping thing we end up seeing.
But, yeah, like frontier, I guess. It's like wilderness. It's not camping. So I thought that was weird because that seems like such an obvious thing to do, and it's been there forever. And so I thought, yeah, they should do a camping original theme. And then I thought, sorry, this is my last point slash question. If you, Ryan, were to go camping with one of the original pinball creations, you know, like the properties that they invent, what do you call those? Like original IP? Yeah, original IP. Mm-hmm. If you were camping with a character from an original IP pinball machine, what character would it be? such a stupid question, but I lost sleep thinking about this.
Wow.
I was like, couldn't fall asleep because I was trying to decide between Red and Ted and Dr. Dude. I was thinking, like, which would be more fun to go on a camping trip with?
I honestly think I would pick the Frontier guy.
The Frontier guy?
Yeah, because I'm sure, I mean, not that I want to hunt or anything, but I bet that guy could teach me a lot about wilderness survival.
He looks like he stinks.
Doesn't he?
He looks like he smells really
bad. Yeah, he does look like he has fleas and he stinks.
Does he have a name?
No, I don't think so. Frontier Bob? No, I don't know.
Frontier Bob? He's cool. He's cool. It's not his job to smell good, you know. Yeah.
What would you do with Red and Ted? I mean, they manage construction projects, right?
Right, but that's, you know, I'm a software development manager. I get to go camping too, Ryan. What would I do? What would I do with them? I just feel like we'd sit around the campfire and they would be kind of like unbelievably annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Or like interesting to watch. I like the dynamic between those two. I just, for some reason, they jumped out at me. And then I thought Dr. Dude would be kind of fun too, but maybe insufferable.
Yeah, I think he'd get annoying, but maybe he'd be fun too to, you know, party and have a good time.
The only other one that jumped up is like Rudy, you know?
Ugh.
But he's like creepy and firewood in a way.
Yeah, so you'd wake up in the middle of the night and he'd be like hovering over your sleeping bag looking at you with those eyes.
Yeah. Not even in a violent way, just in a, like, you're a creep, like, get out of here, man, way. All right, well, thanks for listening. Anyway, camping pinball, some sort of camp theme. It writes itself. And the video modes you could do with, like, making s'mores, so cool.
Yeah, yeah, you got to keep the marshmallow not too close, but not too far from the fire. You don't want to burn it. But you know, before the time runs out, you have to have like a, you know, just a perfect s'more.
Yeah. Doesn't Colin have a thing where I can go see if anyone else wants to do this? And if enough people do it, then like Stern has to make it or something like that. Is that how it works?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a Kineticist has that on their site. So you should, I don't know if you could just like add your own ideas straight up or if he is kind of pooling the ideas himself from other sites. So maybe you'd have to start on, you know, a Reddit or Pinside post saying, wouldn't it be great if there's a camping theme? And then all reply and be like, yeah, that would be great. And then that would drum up the interest and we could kind of like cook the books, cook the system or something.
And Colin's watching like Golden Girls and he's like, yeah, copy paste that over here.
Yeah,
I'm good to go.
Camping game, got it.
Okay. What else is out there in the pinball world, Ryan?
This is another like map data quality thing that comes up sometimes that I thought I'd share ideas about. You know, we had somebody that's visiting France in the summer and they submitted maybe 30 locations or something like that in France, new ones. And I was like, that's crazy. Where'd you get all this information from? And I also said, did you get it from the Stern Insider Connected map? And then I told this person why that data might not be good. And now I'm going to tell you that. And we still added these locations because sometimes it's better just to have them on the map and they could get corrected from there, hopefully. But, you know, the Stern Insider Connected has a map and it shows places with Stern IC machines and sometimes basically the issue is that only an operator can update that map and like the person who created the page for it. So it's not a user updated thing like Pinball Map is. So therefore it suffers from some data quality issues sometimes. And one of those issues is that operators will, you know, there's no real incentive for taking a machine off of it if that machine is gone from the location. And so I was able to cross check through like over 1,000 insider connected map entries. I spent a few days doing that. And I could see that there's, you know, I'm looking at the pinball map entry for a location and the insider connected map location and I could see that the pinball map one was updated by a very trustworthy map updater very recently. So I know it's up to date. And then the insider connected one was not up to date. And I saw a lot of cases of that. Basically just machines get pulled and they don't get pulled from the insider connected map. So if you're pooling your, we basically just don't like to use other sources in general when you're submitting locations to Pinball Map. We prefer that you have been there in person or have heard from someone who's been there in person. You know, don't go by a photo in Google Maps or the Pinside map or the Insider Connected map, because those seem less reliable than going in person. So that's all I had to say about that.
I thought Insider Connected map uses pinball map data.
No, Stern has another map on their site that uses pinball map data.
But yeah. Insider Connected is just pieced together?
You know, an operator sets, I don't know all the details, I haven't done this, sets up a location on their map, registers it, and says this is a public venue, because you get different Insider Connector points depending on whether it's like your home or a public venue. That's another thing. People put their homes on there and they mark them as public venues. That's another thing I saw too. Another data quality issue. So yeah, they just have their own data. I think it's probably pretty easy. Once you've created the location on Insider Connected, once you just like connect that machine, it might just kind of phone home and be added. I don't want to, I'm probably saying a lot of wrong stuff that might.
No, that makes sense. I mean, that's like in a lot of ways was like the holy grail of pinball tracking, right? Like that's the thing that makes the map no longer necessary. Every device could phone home to something and say, here I am. But the data quality that goes along with that seems perilous.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess they just, you know. I think you have to manually remove the machines, and you know, maybe there's incentives not to remove the machines because you want to keep like the record of the stats that got applied, you know, how many plays were on it, and you know, because there's useful stuff for operators like showing how much money it's made, but it ends up asked them for the data and they said no, we don't have we can't give it to you.
Stern said that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They don't have an API for it. And and I think there was others that were trying more forcefully to get it, not asking. So they have it very encrypted and locked down.
All right.
Yeah. That's how it
is. Keep your secrets, Stern.
Yeah. We don't want that anyway. Ours is more up to date.
Do you still log into that thing when you play?
Yeah, almost every time. I didn't for a while, and now I do. I don't know. I just like seeing the scores, and I enjoy getting the chivos.
Yeah. Do they have like trophies? You know, like overall, this guy's got 100 platinums or something like that. Is it like PS like PlayStation or what?
I think it's a little different. There's some achievements that you can get to if you've done certain things, like had like a streak of 300 days, or you've played more than 1,000 games, you know, plays or something like that. So, and it'll show you, so that's like a badge you can earn that not everyone else will have earned. So, and that's kind of it. And it shows you a percentile of how many people have earned it too. So you get an idea of how rare it is.
That's fun.
Yeah. Do you use it?
I used it a little bit for a while there, but I just kind of stopped. I don't, you know, there's a lot of things like that I used and stopped. Like I used to do the fitness tracker stuff, and now I just don't do that.
Yeah. We all go through our phases.
We all go through our phases, you know, and I think it's important to listen to yourself, listen to your body, listen to your mind, listen to your heart.
I agree.
I could see eating this. I really could, and I am not kidding. Not kidding. I could see eating this. Not kidding.
I would like to put the request out, the call. If you have a scene report, please send it in. You know, I don't want to listen to Ryan and I talk for an hour. I'd rather hear other people as well. It's not hard to do. Use the old voice recorder on your phone. Quality doesn't even have to be very good. And all you have to do is just say what's on your mind. What do you see? What's around you? Is pinball fun there? What even is pinball? What does it mean to you? Are you afraid? Do you want to go home? What did you eat there? Did you get a drink? These are the kind of things I care about. Please send them in.
send them to admin@pinballmap.com. And you know, this, it's summertime. People are going on vacations. You're going to far flung locales. This is your opportunity to give us scene reports, from places that we haven't heard about. And that might be really interesting.
Great. Yeah.
Okay. Lastly, I want to mention that, you know, I don't know if there's a content warning needed on this, but this is, about the passing of two of our administrators in the last, 8 months or so. So, you know, we have over 100 administrators, people that have helped out in the back end for many, many years. And, you know, this is always something I worried about too. I would never say this out loud, but I was like, this is a lot of people that are like, we're communicating with regularly.
Mm-hmm.
What if one of them passes away? And so first I want to say RIP to Daryl Minsky, admin for the Calgary pinball map. His username was Pierogi Boy, and he helped us out for many, many years, and sad to see, hear of his passing. He sounded like a really fun guy, really into music, and you know, very grateful for all his help on the map over the years. He was very, he gave us some app bugs he sent us. He, even like 2 months before he passed away, he told us about a problem with the app and we fixed it. He was, one thing that's notable is he was really into making sure that the Calgary region of the map didn't have any locations that were like remotely outside of Calgary. He wanted it to be very tight, and was like, get the submission out of there if one came that was like 15 miles away. Next is Stephen Hill, Wisconsin admin since 2013. And Daryl was the admin since 2016. So Stephen Hill was originally the only administrator for Wisconsin. I think actually Wisconsin started out as Milwaukee, I think. Yeah, it was just a Milwaukee region. But then people kept submitting locations for other areas in Wisconsin. So it just kind of naturally grew. That guy edited, his profile has over 900 edits on the map, but he also did a lot of back-end stuff, added hundreds of locations that don't reflect those that edit number. He supported us on Patreon. Really, really cool guy that, you know, it's funny, you talk with these people over email for a decade, and we actually met him for like 5 seconds at Pinball Expo last October. He came up and said hi, and that was it. And then he walked off. And
thank you, Stephen. Thank you, Daryl. It is, yeah, that's sad. Yeah. You don't think you're gonna have this moment with projects like this, but yeah, it's
not something you expect. But yeah, I'd like to give them props and just remember them so that you know, they really helped out a lot over the years, and so, you know, we could thank them when we're seeing locations in Calgary and Wisconsin. They probably had their hand in those, helping populate the site and keep the data nice and clean.
Thanks, Stephen. Thanks, Daryl.
So, well, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. I guess we hang it up for a month or so.
Yeah, I think so. You could tell us about your journey after you on the next episode. Get another update from Colin in the next episode. Get some new scene reports. I'm going to the UK in late July, so we should get a new episode before then.
Oh, cool. You're going to, yeah, I was going to say, are you going to look for pinball machines there? But you're going there with a child, family.
Yeah.
You're probably not going to find pinball machines.
No, I don't think so. Unless, like, I could slip out one night or something in
London. What do you think they call them over there? Pinball machines, pinball tables, pinball.
I would think tables sounds like a British thing to me.
Yeah, it does sound British.
Pinball platforms. I don't know. something wrong. Something like slightly wrong.
Okay, great. It's always nice to talk to you, Ryan. I treasure our time together.
You too, Scott. Good to hear your voice again.
Okay. I'll see you in our private Slack channel. okay. See you there.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.